Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Football is Life.
And sometime death.
I'm Niffer.
And I'm Andy.
And that depression you hear in our voices is because Orlando has been disappointing in the last week.
So, my mentor used to say, we have to have ups and downs because it's like the heart has a heartbeat up and down. But this is extremely ups and down. This is somebody has arrhythmia, not a heartbeat. So, come on, people. Come on, Orlando City. What the heck you're doing? 5-point drop in week. Point lost and a tie. My gosh, I have to
read you a couple sentences from our very favorite power rankings on ESPN, okay? For a team playing as well as the Lions had for months, NYCFC and a Lionel Messi-less Miami shouldn't have troubled them too much, but should and shouldn't don't mean much in this league. The Pigeons dispatch them with ease, and they never seem comfortable in drawing Inter, despite their Florida rivals benching Sergio Busquets, Jordi Alba, along with Messi. Orlando will be fine, but it sure was a perplexing week. I've never agreed more with these dummies who write this thing. Again.
Yeah, not one game, not a Miami game yesterday, nor the game on Wednesday show any sort of resemblance that we had the whole season or the week before that playing Columbus. In our chat this morning, I said, I am worried that we're going to lose our home court advantage. That's how worried I am because the team looks bad. Mm-hmm, so bad.
It's honestly not the whole team, but there are just some gaping holes. Gaping holes.
So let's talk
one
about...
One of them is named Rodrigo Schlegel.
What is Schlegel, Jensen?
Every week we say the same thing. The team looks really good, but we really need to firm up that back line. And his name is always Rodrigo Schlegel. I like him. There should be a statue of him in front of the arena. But the same things that made him dynamic in that moment where he stepped up to be the goalkeeper, which was an incredible moment. It's the same things that are going to get us into trouble. And it's the same reason that he doesn't play in his position because he's so excitable.
Okay. So let's take this down a little bit. I actually, about Miami game, the goal was on his side, but it wasn't his mistake. It wasn't his mistake at all. The mistake is the insistence of playing Dugar when he is gassed out. I don't understand. And we saw it very clearly in Miami game. He was dying in the 85th minute. Oscar Pereira is insisting to keep him. I understand the concept that Oscar is trying to do, which is simply he wants a versatile player who can play defense and offense. But Dugar is not so good with defense, which we put too much work on Schlegel in the back. Mm-hmm. And Jensen's side is better because we have Santos in the other side who's helping Jensen. Even Jensen is dog poop. Let me put this away. He's a dog poop. He is just aged like 20 years in the last 2 weeks. He doesn't run. Yesterday game was Campana. He teach him some lessons in life, but other than that game, he is just not the old Jensen. I don't know if he's not feeling comfortable not playing next to Antonio Carlos. I don't know. It's
someone tell me what's going on with Antonio Carlos. Where's he been? I know he's hurt, but they said middle of September. It's September 25th. That's after the middle.
I don't think he's actually back in training.
Training?
Because he's posting stuff with his family somewhere away. I don't think
he needs to come back here and play the sport that he is supposed to be playing for us.
And it's even if you look at the injury report from MLS, it's really weird because it's right lower leg. That's it. And it's questionable.
What does that even mean?
And it's questionable. It's not even out like Adam Grunz or Fabian Loyola. He is just questionable.
What happens is they'll be like, oh, this person got a knock in practice. And then 3 weeks later, they'll be like, they successfully had open heart surgery or whatever. And it's just like, you guys need to give us proper information. They don't ever want to tell us the truth. And I don't know why. And it makes me mad.
I think the with family is their hand is full with the Vikings these days. So they don't have time for Orlando City because the Vikings is another trash fire. We talked about the front office situation that we have. A front office is not on contract. And I don't know how this is.
Don't you think they should be trying to play to keep their contracts?
I don't know if this is going to motivate them or not. That's the key. Mm. We don't know. There is a lot. This is the problem with Orlando City too. There is a lot of unknowns that they don't come transparent about. We don't know what's happening. Honestly, and it's upsetting because you have 4 games left. For this season, 2 home and 2 away. Next game is Montreal, which is winnable. The game after that is in Nashville. It's the tricky one. Then we have New England, and we go finish in Toronto. Those 4 games, they have to approach them with the mentality of must win.
Must win.
Because we can't afford losing points. Thankfully, Columbus dropped a couple of points the last couple of days, so the gap between us now is 2 points, but this is not the gap that you just sit and wait and relax, because if you look at to the standing, New England last week when we talked, they were tying with us on the second. New England now 6.
Mm-hmm.
6. Yes, the third to the sixth, they all have the same number of points, with Atlanta playing 2 games more than Philadelphia. Philadelphia is 49, by the way. Philadelphia is 49, so they have a game in hand over us. So if they win on the week in this week, in the middle, they are second, and we lost second. That's how crazy is the situation. That's why it must win. Philadelphia, I think they have a little bit tougher schedule than us because they are playing the Dallas, then they are going in Philadelphia, then they going to Columbus. They're playing Atlanta, and Atlanta has been hot the last couple of weeks. So, and then Nashville. So they have 3 games that maybe, but us, we have 4 games that in our hand to win. Maybe 3 and 1 tie, but we can't lose any game.
Yeah.
That's my...
Need us to keep our head in the game enough to keep home field advantage. Anything beyond that, like, whatever. Of course, it'd be great to win the supporter shield, of course, blah, blah, blah. But, like, at this point, I just need us to keep our head in the game.
I don't mind to lose, but we have to lose. If we're going to lose or we're going to not win something, we have to show some sort of a team. What we've been seeing is just a leftover skeleton of a team that looked great the last months.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to be fair, the game was in Miami yesterday. We were sitting next to each other. I told Katie after that bowl that Angulo missed the goal by inches. I looked to her. I said, it's not our day. It's not going to happen. There is nothing coming our way. Because how many times... For example, the play in the first half when Maguire sneaked from the defense and he shot it, He had the same exact ball where he scored, and he didn't miss. That's...
I know. There were like three or four times in the Miami game where it was literally like, this should have been a goal. It was very weird.
Yeah, the game was weird, and they were... I was talking to my boss, who's Atlanta fan, this morning, and she asked me about the game, and I told her, and in the end, she said, so how do you feel? I said, I think I used to say Atlanta is the dirtiest team in the league. I think it's now Miami by
100%. Far. They have to spend at least one practice a week on how to shove other people to the ground.
There was one in the end, Campana, when he jumped on, when Jensen took the yellow card, it was, Jensen has the full privilege to go and yell at the referee, because the guy was jumping at him, literally, yeah, in the air, and it was scary, and nobody want to say a thing.
It just seems very dangerous.
Yeah. There was a lot, and the fight with Yeldon, oh my gosh, this one, when he and Ruhu got into it, when they hold the ball, I was, come on, you are the captain of United States team for a while. Tell me about how to be a role model. And I don't understand.
No, it was weird. And I hate Joseph Martinez. I just feel there's nothing to say in particular, but I just he's my least favorite person in the MLS.
In the world, to me. And he's playing with Messi, who I don't like too. So yeah, Miami to me is the pinnacle of the teams that I don't like, simply. The other thing that I want to note to people who didn't attend the game, it's very disrespecting to a team to come and sell T-shirts from the opponent in front of the in front of the stadium. This is the most disrespectful thing I saw in my entire life. People doesn't understand what football is. Because that's very disrespectful. I saw a lot of fans in our way out. They were just... I was proud of our Orlando City yelling at people and saying, shame on you to come do that in front of our stadium. Because I never saw that before in anywhere in the world to have...
It's rude as heck, man. It was just weird. And like, he wasn't there. Like, it's like, you're really going to be out here selling Messi shirts when he didn't even have the decency to show up to this game. I hope they get obliterated in the Open Cup final. I hope that they get embarrassed.
They play in Houston, which is, it's not easy to happen, but this, as we said before, this whole league starts to be, formatted and groomed to serve Messi's intentions. Yep. And here we go. We have to fight back up. The good thing that I think them going to the playoff, it's actually slim to nothing now, because they have only one game in hand and they are about 5 points from New York City. And New York Red Bull and DC are just right back and back.
Yeah. No, it's totally possible that whoever the number one seed is will be playing Miami. In the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Miami has a game next Saturday, which is right after the final. They're going to have a game in New York. It's actually in Miami against New York. Then they go into Chicago, which is Chicago game. Definitely they're going to win. Then they go and they play Cincinnati, and then back-to-back Charlotte. So say that maybe 6 points, maybe more.
It just feels like anything is possible now.
Yeah, with and these, honestly,
this particular team.
Is it, again, if it's Poppy's trying to be outsmart everybody by just to stay on the second and stay away from my messy side?
I don't think that kind of three-dimensional chess works here. I don't think it's worth not, like, you want to go in the strongest position. And I think winning the supporter shield and playing in good form is better than potentially keeping an easier route. Like, I just don't think that that stuff is good. I don't think that's a good way to do it.
I agree. We said that last week. And I don't think
Poppy is doing that either, because honestly, I think that, like, it's just like it's too tough of a line to figure out, because you don't want to drop to third.
Yep.
You know, and there's just a lot. Everybody's playing games. Everybody's trying to play. Everybody's trying to win. And we're not that far from, you know, like, what's the point differential between us and third place? Let me look at the standings.
Points.
2 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if Columbus Crew had won over the weekend instead of losing, we would be in third place.
Yep. Yep.
So, and same with Philadelphia Union, Atlanta United, New England Revolution. All these teams have 49 points.
That's why I said it's straight out. You have to win every single, the last four games that you have, they're all cups style.
Yep.
It's a knockoff. You have to win it all. Or it's going to be way harder to go anywhere.
Yeah. I did get the email today saying, hey, you're locked in for your playoff seats. So that's exciting.
I didn't get that.
I'm sure you got it. I'm sure you got the email. It just said how much it's going to cost for all the tickets. And basically, you either get all of them or you get none of them. It's like the opt-out. You know, so if we go all the way, we get to sit in our seats all the way. That's exciting.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. My birthday is the first week of November, and that's like potentially there will be games played that week. So I would love to have a birthday game that we win. That's important to me, that we win. So we'll see. We'll see. How are you feeling about Montreal?
Montreal has been up and down to a point that you are expecting to beat them. So Montreal in the last, God knows how many games now, they lost this week, for example, to Atlanta 4-1. Mm-hmm. But this is not, that's not something that you measure on, because Atlanta beat Miami last week 5-2, and we barely tied with Miami. So.
Yeah.
That's a worry.
Atlanta's a weird team, man. They are hot and cold.
Like somebody we know?
Who?
Orlando City.
Oh, we're not that hot and cold.
Okay.
They are hot and cold. And we're like hot, and then we cool off.
So, yeah, they're I'm not going to go there.
That's
because
we're gonna get our groove back, like Stella. Okay, these last four games, we're gonna go into the playoffs with 4 wins, 12 points, knocking down the door, ready to fight. That's what we need to do. That's what we're gonna do. Poppy is gonna go in there and talk to them. Antonio Carlos is gonna figure out if he still has a foot or not, and then decide to come back. I don't really know. It's gonna be great.
I hope so. That's gonna happen, because this is one of the best seasons we ever played.
I would say, like, in terms of, like, total football, like, complete package.
Yes.
Yes. Because we've had seasons, like, when DK played with us, we were really good. But it was really our offense, like, was a hell of more spark.
We have and even our offense, we don't have DK style. We don't have a clear striker. We have we are scoring goals by committee. But I was telling
Katie, our friend Facundo Torres decided that he didn't want to make the pass but take the shot, you never thought in the world that I would be saying, just take the shot, my guy. But just take the shot, my guy. Like, I'm dying here.
I was telling Katie yesterday that Ojeda yesterday was his first game since we bought him that he played decent. And actually, he was mm-hmm. one of the top players in our team. So I was
he played
telling
like 20 minutes.
Yeah. And I was, why we don't have all of them in their peak on the same day? Why we don't have Mauricio Pereira and Maguire and Facundo Torres and Angulo and Ojeda and all of them and Jensen and Schlegel to play decent on the same day? Why we have a drop or Galese that sometimes he forgot he know how to save balls? But yesterday, thankfully, he remembered.
He had a good game.
It was exception of that ball that didn't make any sense when he was jumping and touching. Oh my gosh, this one I was, dude.
You were
not
pretty mad about that.
It's not high school goalkeeper. This is ABC. This is fundamentals. When it comes to goalkeeper, you know, this is my rule. That's what I played. So I get very technical. So yeah, back to Montreal. So Montreal, they are interesting team. So they beat New England in the last week of August, but they went and lose to New York City too, and then lost 4-2 to Columbus. Then they tied with Cincinnati. So they don't have a temperature. You can't pull their temperature, but we don't have a good history with Montreal. Our previous experience with Montreal is really toughy. So I just want to have a good game. We want to win and move on. So we can focus on the next game, which is going to be Nashville. And after that, we have we have New England home, which is our last game of the season at home. Mm-hmm. Then until hopefully the playoffs. Then after that, we get to go to Toronto, which I am hoping that temperature and weather is not bad by that time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm feeling optimistic, but I'm also feeling concerned.
That's good.
This is a pretty low energy episode. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll keep an eye on this Miami-Houston game midweek and be back next week to talk about our very own game against Montreal. And see what happens in the table. And this is the time of year where things change really quickly. So hopefully we'll be able to keep keep the upper hand in these moments after this last week. Maybe this will be the weird September fluke. Now we march into October with confidence. That's the goal.
We hope so, that we can recover from the abysmal week this week and move forward to greatest and bigger plans of winning the MLS Club.
Yeah. So until next time, go City.